Baseball Central. No, it's not. That's all. Hell of a start for the week. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just leave right now. It's Blair and Barker. I don't know where that came from. It's Blair and Barker for a Monday. And it's going to be a great week, I can tell right now. What are you looking at? I don't know. I was thinking of Baseball Central for some reason. I don't know why. Jesus. Huh. The music. It's different music. It screwed me up a bit. I was in my... Anyhow, it's Blair and Barker for Monday. That I know. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Formerly of Baseball Central.
How about that?
God.
Seriously?
No, the whole week is gone now. I mean, I might as well just...
Write it on the top of your paper.
Oh, it's right there. It's right there. There's no reason. There's no reason for me to have called it that. You know, at least I didn't call it the Jeff Blair Show. I mean, God, how many shows have I done since I've been here? I mean...
Well, you're only doing one this year.
Two.
So stop making excuses.
Anyhow.
It's not the baseball.
Yeah, it is.
They're not mushy. Okay.
Mushy balls. I'm blaming it on mushy balls. Yes, it is Blair and Barker for a Monday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Toronto Blue Jays coming off a series loss to the Tampa Bay Rays, losing 2 of 3, winning the middle game. As I said yesterday in Blue Jays talk, if I told you that going into this series, you'd win Hyunjin Ryu's start and it would be a laugher, and you'd lose the other two starts, you probably would have looked.
Well, it wasn't a laugher until the eighth inning. You know, they only score runs
for this team. 5-1's a laugher.
You could probably say that.
5-1's a laugher.
But if you told me that, I'd say it's about right. It's the trop, and that's what happens.
So let's a lot did happen this week. We mentioned Hyunjin Ryu came back off the IL, and kind of did what you'd expect them to do, maybe a little better. Danny Jansen returned and made an immediate impact, not just catching Ryu, but also at the plate. But I guess the big story is the lineup. George Springer twisted his ankle, sprained his ankle, a mild sprain on Friday. And the Jays used his absence on Saturday to basically put the lineup in a blender. Matt Chapman led off. Vladdy hit second. Teoscar was third. Bo dropped to fourth. This is something we've talked about, and I will just mention it very briefly for those of you who aren't keeping track, that one of the storylines in spring training was the Jays wanted Vladdy to hit second because he would get more at-bats over the course of the year. He wasn't that thrilled with the idea, so nothing happened until George Springer went down. George Springer returned yesterday to DH, and the Jays kept the same lineup with Vladdy hitting second, Teoscar hitting third, Bo hitting fourth. Matt Chapman dropped down, and Espinal hit ahead of him. And the reason for hitting Matt Chapman first or second is there's really one thing Matt Chapman has been able to do this year offensively.
It's not get hits.
Sees a lot of pitches. He sees more pitches than anybody else on the team. So...
I'm not sure that's the exact reason why you'd want to put a guy.
But what I'm saying, it made sense is what I'm saying. Why not is what I'm saying. I'm not saying you want a steady diet of it, but why not? Anyhow, let's talk about the lineup first before we talk about yesterday's game. The lineup in general, Kevin, do you think this will be the lineup moving forward? Will Charlie and the coaching staff and the people who have a say in the setting of this lineup, will they stick with this? Will they give this lineup as much run as they gave the original lineup?
Does it matter? Until they get an actual left-hander bat in here that can do something offensively, I'm not talking about just show up and hit left-handed. I'm talking about, you know, hitting the middle of the order, mix around a bunch of the righties, have that other pitcher have to do something different. Use a different pitch. Throw something different to a different part of the plate, maybe. Does it really matter where Vladdy hits? Does it matter where Bo hits? Bo's still going to expand. Vladdy still has trouble with the ball away, down and away, using the other part of the field, not being frustrated when he falls behind on a pitch that he thought was a ball that an umpire calls a strike. Like, this is big boy pant time. For me, Like putting a Matt Chapman leading off guy that's got an on-base percentage somewhere around 280. I get it that he sees pitches, but
there's nobody out, Kevin.
Because the guy's left-handed on the mound. I would rather have Tapia leading off. But again, that's a one-time thing with who's the leadoff hitter for the Blue Jays on an everyday basis. That's not why they won the game.
They didn't lose it.
They won the game because the pitching was really good.
Yeah, they didn't lose it.
And it kept the team in the game.
And how all I'm saying is
somebody could run into one.
It's the whole – I just mentioned that because people were asking why was Matt Chapman up there. That's not going to happen on a daily basis, although it should be pointed out that Matt Chapman has hit second a fair amount in his career. Anyhow, I'm just saying that.
So to answer your question, probably, you know, the only hurried up time that Vladdy will have is at home. Because he's playing in the field. He'll have to run in as fast as he can and put his batting gloves and his helmet. Where's it at? And put all of his gear on. And this is the only time that he'll be in a hurry is at the first inning of the first at bat that he has. And this is where they seem to like him hitting. For me, I don't care where they hit. I'm at the part of the season where I think that's eyewash. I think moving around, unless you're taking one of your big-time bats and moving them from, like, the two-hole to the seven-hole to basically tell that one individual person, you stink.
Yeah, but that's...
You need to be moved down. That's not what they're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have guys that they need to put in positions that they think will better benefit their team at that part of the season. Where Vladdy hits not going to change how they're pitching him. Where Bo hits not going to change where they're pitching him. It's not going to change their routine enough that it goes, flips the light switch on to say, oh, I need to do this against this certain pitch with this guy throwing on the mound. For me, it's not going to do that. This is sort of the way they wanted the season to start. They used the George Springer, air quote, injury for an excuse to say, well, this guy's there now. It's a good time to move everybody around. And offensively, you guys are struggling.
Do you give this?
Gives them a chance to move it around.
You haven't answered my question. Do you give this 32 games like you gave the other order?
It probably will look like this until they get a left-handed bat. Cool. How's that?
That's perfect. I think that's...
Why change it?
I don't know where that left-handed bat will play. I presume it would be DH. I think that's...
And it almost needs to hurry. I'm sure Ross sees the exact same thing that we're seeing, how easy they are to pitch to and how bad pitching can get through this lineup.
You made the point 3 weeks ago that it's not just the fact that other teams look at this lineup and go, let's run a righty out there. It's the fact that other teams look at this lineup and go, let's throw pitchers left, right, whatever, who throw cutters and sliders.
Yeah.
And get them to expand. Like, you know, that's essentially what we're talking about here.
I was thinking about when the season changed for the Blue Jays, and I thought of my career, and Kevin Brown threw me a fastball, a moving fastball. You know, he threw it with vinegar. Like, he's mad at you when he threw at you. Like, he was mad. Every pitch was conviction.
Kevin Brown he had some added help.
He did. Yeah. But he threw me a ball probably 4 inches in off the plate, and I hit it off the label, like, you know, right above my knuckles.
Right.
Didn't feel too well.
Yeah.
Ever since that, one at bat, every guy thought, well, let's try to go in there. Plate awareness is not his thing. Well, it took my career right down the tubes just because of that one at bat. Well, you remember Vladdy going deep in Yankee Stadium on them balls in off the plate and down the middle from a right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
When's the last time they saw that? From a lineup. Consistently 1-9. You haven't seen it. I'll answer the question for you. You haven't, because what that did was that flipped the light switch on for all those pitching coaches to go, I don't like that. That's not going to work. How do we get them out? I'd rather give up a bloop single or a line drive single to right center than to give that up. So the league's made an adjustment to this lineup. This lineup's still good. It hasn't changed how I think of this lineup or how talented they are. But the league's figured out ways to get them out. And I could see a team that's stubborn right now and doesn't want to make adjustments. Now, the adjustments may be so minor that you can't see them. But let's be honest. It ain't working. So now what do? You're facing – who are they facing? They're facing Chris Flexen, who's had it coming off a really bad start against the Phillies. He gave up a homer or two, gave up some hard hit balls. Cutter ain't working. four-seamer location ain't working, big breaking ball ain't working. Well, he throws 91 miles an hour. So if they get lambasted by Chris Flexen today, there's no excuses. Like, the Rays are the Rays. But the Rays aren't the Rays of last year where they brought just fuego and nastiness from the right-handed arms. They, you know, they're pitchers now. Like, they're going to – Kevin Cash is going to do things with arm angles and try and throw the timing off from that hitter. It ain't so much, I don't care who's up. I'm just going to bring in my fuego guy. Well, they don't really have that because all the injuries they've had. The Blue Jays should have had better at-bats is my point. They got no excuses. Now, I know Seattle's up and coming, and they got a young lineup and all those things. But this is – you're at home. You know how they're trying to get you out. You're facing some guys that aren't clicking on all cylinders when it comes to the pitching side of it. Now it's up to you to come and make some adjustments. Ain't no more excuses. Ain't no more the I fly out to left center field and the ball and the mushy, and I go over and flip the iPad. Look, should have been a homer. It's a homer last year. It's time for me anyway. Looking at this team, looking at how good they can be, to start the obvious adjustments, whatever that is. It's an individual thing. If I have to scoot closer, I have to scoot closer. If I have to scoot further away, I have to do that. If I have to use a different bat, I have to do that. If I have to choke up with two strikes, I have to do that. It's now about making the obvious adjustments, and can they do that? And I still think they can. I think they have to. And what better time to start doing it than – coming off a road trip, coming home. You have a day off between two series. You have a series, a day off, a series. You're facing an okay team and a bad team. It's time.
The Jays lost yesterday 3-0, their third shutout of the year, which matches their total number of shutouts last season. An error, a costly error by Matt Chapman. Really kind of the focal point of this game. Alek Manoah, 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Certainly pitched well enough to win.
Yeah.
But, Kevin, it wasn't just – this time it wasn't even really bad at bats with runners in scoring position. There just wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on for the Jays offensively in that game. There just wasn't. I'm looking at where was your opportunity. I mean, I guess Santiago Espinal leads off. No, he doesn't lead off. He gets picked off first in the – second inning.
They probably did Lourdes a favor. That's a 1-2 count. Probably not good. Yeah. Good things are happening.
There was just not much. I guess the ninth inning, maybe, right? Guerrero singles, but then you get Teoscar hitting into double. And there just wasn't much. There just wasn't anything going on for them offensively.
The quality of the at-bats is not very good.
No.
You can say it.
They are
one
hitting.
1-9.
I wanted to ask you this, though, because – you know, they have hit some balls on the screws. And, we were dismissive of the mushy balls and all that. But if you look at the series, okay, look at Danny Jansen Saturday. Danny Jansen hits that home run. He hits another ball that gets caught. Matt Chapman hits a ball that I swear to God, I thought it was gone. How much, in addition to the approach, because we talk about approaches, we talk about adjustments, how frustrating do you think it is for these guys? And I'm not making excuses. I'm saying just players in general. How frustrating is it for guys who are scuffling to hit a ball in the screws? And you know what players are like. Guys know what would have been gone last year. Like, guys can tell when they hit a ball. When a hitter says to me, last year that ball would have been gone, I absolutely believe that when the guy says that.
First of all, I'm going to raise my hand and question whether they're hitting the ball in the screws or not. The exit velocity, sometimes you got to be careful with that. If I see an exit velocity of 110 miles an hour, that's exit velocity. If I see an exit velocity of 102 miles an hour, maybe you just didn't get it. Maybe you hit too much of the bottom part of the ball. Maybe the wind's blowing. Whatever the case is, you got to be real careful about running and seeing what the – because I know exactly what they're doing. They flip the iPad, and it tells them exactly what the mile per hour was off the bat. And I did that in batting practice. We know something's different with the baseballs. Now it's up to you to zone in and be the hitter that you're supposed to be, which is, if I like fastballs, I'm not going to – because that guy has a nasty changeup. And he's left-handed. I've said this to you how many times? It's almost like they go up thinking that they're the only team in baseball that can hit a guy's nastiest pitch when coming into the game, the average against that pitch is like a 110. How come you think you're the only team that can do that? Now, whether they're trying to do that or not, I'm not real sure, but just by watching the game and how they're late on average fastballs, average fastball now is about 93 miles an hour. That's about what the Rays consistently was throwing in those couple of games that they faced them. They don't have right now.
No, those guys are all hurt. They're all hurt.
Yeah, like the actual guys that, here it is, see if you can hit it. Now they're pitching a little bit more. And it's a combination of a bunch of things. So whenever I see the iPads and I see the frustration with the balls, you can tell that what the balls that were hitting in batting practice is not exactly the same launch angle and the ball off the bat. You can tell it's a little bit frustrating, but they're deep enough into the season now. It's not a surprise anymore, is it? Like, when you're, for me anyway, when you're said to be one of the best lineups in baseball, what the baseball is like should not devastate your entire season.
That's fair.
Like, it shouldn't be that way. And I think this is one of those times where you watch the Yankees. They're donkey punching baseballs. Now, the ball to right field.
What the hell is
Yankees,
donkey punching?
Like you walk behind it, and it's just everything I got's into the baseball. They're getting it done.
Look
at
Lance in there. Well, donkey punching. We're going to get for the ethical treatment of animals against us here. Donkey punching. You don't punch a donkey. You have to coax the donkey.
You do?
Yeah.
Not when you're hitting.
You rub the donkey. You coax it.
Okay.
Anywho. Donkey punching. Okay. I've never heard donkey punching.
Stay with me. You'll some other things you've never heard before.
Oh, I already have.
I just, again, sometimes I think we come on here and we try and vent excuses to give these guys.
When the
adjustments just consistently, and the guys who should be making them a little bit quicker than everybody else because of how good of hitters they are, don't. Is that the baseball's fault? That you continually get away out on balls away and you don't make adjustments to lay off of that? Be shorter and quicker to the baseball. Get started sooner. Don't be late with your second gather. Like, there's a guy that has a gather, and he's got a start, a stop, a start again. When you're late doing that and a pitcher sees you doing that, how do I get him out? I can get him out by making him drive baseballs the other way. These are called adjustments. And the teams that make them quicker are the teams that have better success. And right now, they're just not doing that.
Hyunjin Ryu and Danny Jansen returned on Saturday. Danny had a home run. Hyunjin Ryu, 4 2/3, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. I guess the good news is that he got 4 2/3 from him. That he is now, if we operate under the assumption that Kikuchi's turned the corner, we'll know more about that this tonight, because he's going to be facing his former team, which ought to be interesting. If we operate under the assumption, though, that Kikuchi seems to be in the right path, this basically makes Ryu your fifth starter. What did you see from Ryu?
I liked his velocity. His velocity is 90-91. That's about right for...
Before it was 87-80. It was
more 88s than 90-91s. The changeup arm speed was good. The movement on the changeup was good. The bite on the breaking ball was better. I like the mile per hour from the breaking ball to the fastball. That's about 20 miles an hour difference. He's trying to hit that. Now, he doesn't throw the breaking ball a lot, but he throws it enough for strike one that it puts doubt in a hitter's mind that now you got to respect that. You got to figure out ways to hit it and stay back on it. Do I try and pull it? Do I try and go the other way with it? 70 from 90, not a whole lot you can do with that. So that's a nice little weapon for him. And fastball command, glove side, and arm side was decent. So, yeah, it's for me anyway, it's about what your expectations is for Ryu. I like the Danny Jansen effect. That's a big deal for him. He puts the finger down. It's not a lot of shaking off. But he is sometimes like watching ice melt. I will say that. we always talk about how the flow of the game and the rhythm of the game, and I was thinking to myself, if I'm Bo Bichette and I'm Santiago Espinal and I'm Matt Chapman and I'm Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and I'm watching him walk around the mound and I'm watching him shake and I'm watching him
fidget.
I'm watching him like he acts like he can't see the signs. And I think he's using pitch comm too, right?
I don't know if he and Danny do.
But it was, he's like that part of it, I wish he would get it and go a little quicker. Get it and go a little quicker. But again, it's about what your expectations are for Hyunjin Ryu. Is it being a number three guy? If that's it, now I think you're shooting for the moon. If it's five solid innings and you can grow on that and get a little better on that, if he's healthy and he stays healthy, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was, as we said, if that's going to be your fifth starter, that's fine. I mean, it's...
Score runs. Them fourth and fifth guys, if you score runs, they going to look real good. If you've noticed, Jeff, Pete Walker's pretty good at his job. You notice that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've noticed, like, he's not a bad salesman. He's pretty good at what he does and how much he wants guys to do things. You say Kikuchi's a prime example of that. I mean, he basically told him, what you did in Seattle, forget about that. You ain't doing that here. That ain't going to work in the American League. You see them short ballparks? You sell them big donkey right-handed hitters they got in the American League East? That little flipping 91-mile-an-hour BP throwing thing you throw ain't going to work here. We're going to do everything different. And now look at it. You had a little confidence today. I like how you're laughing at me. I'm a little fired up today. It's Monday.
And then yeah, I know.
You said the wrong name of the show, which I don't know why that made me chapped a little, but it did. So it got me a little fired up.
Oh, I mean, you were on the show too. It's not like I picked one of the...
I think we moved on.
10 shows I've done that you weren't on.
That's true.
We have tickets to give away today for the Saturday, May 21st game against the Cincinnati Reds. Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone podcast, will join us at 11 o'clock. I'm really looking forward to this. He is, of course, a 14-year major league player, part of that 2001 Seattle Mariners team. The 116-46 Seattle Mariners team that had
a lot of wins.
Wow. It had Brett Boone, Ichiro. It's a really, really good team.
Ichiro's best, one of the best batting practices I've ever seen.
Homers
after home. Like, if he wanted to hit 15 home runs in a row in batting practice, he could do it.
Everybody says that Ichiro literally, if he had decided he wanted to hit 50 home runs, he could do whatever he wanted. If he wanted to hit 50 home runs and not give a damn about
strong,
batting average,
he could have been a 30 guy consistently every year. But that's not. He wanted to get a lot of hits. He wanted to hit high average. He wanted bat to ball skills and stay up the middle the other way.
You're right. His BP, the BPs that I used to like watching, well, Barry Bonds' batting practice was just sick.
Mark McGwire wasn't bad either.
Mark McGwire, especially during the home run derby days. I'll tell you what, Fred McGriff, I caught a little bit. I remember Fred McGriff taking batting practice at County Stadium in Milwaukee. This was when I was at the Montreal Gazette, and I'd come up to cover the Jays for a weekend in Milwaukee, and that was frightening. And just the sound of the ball off Fred McGriff's bat in batting practice was absolutely
remarkable. They always
say
if you can't do it in batting practice, you're not going to do it in a game.
Anyhow, Brett Boone will join us. 11:30 a.m., Donnie Murphy, manager of the Dunedin Blue Jays. His pitching staff struck out 24 on Saturday night in a combined two-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most in any minor league game at any level of the minors since 2005. And I don't care what level you're pitching or what league you're in. Your 24 strikeouts that's some filth.
The second
pitcher had the most. The second dude they threw had the most strikeouts.
They were facing the Yankees?
Yeah, Tampa.
Don't be afraid to have a two-strike approach, choke up every once in a while, try and put a ball in play. Don't be afraid to do that. Like, that's just, whenever I saw that, I don't know if that's cool to say, but it's just a reminder of the time that we live in, even at the lowest levels of how these guys try to attack at bats and have pride in what you're doing with two strikes and know what guys are trying to do against you. This is, I mean, it's kind of cool to watch a team just punch out 24 guys, but man, like offensively, don't you just, when you're the dugout, you go, hey, guy, don't be afraid to choke up. You know what choking up means? Choke up, play a little pepper with a baseball, put a ball in play occasionally. There's two sides of that story.
I know, but you're viewing it from the hitter side.
I am.
Like 24 punch outs is pretty
funny. That would have, you know, If I'm on that team and I'm getting punched out and I'm watching all my buddies strike out.
I got to ask you this. Okay. What happens? I know I want to take a break here so we can get to our, in the East, our regular segment.
Mm-hmm.
That level, that A level now, and it's a lower A level now because of the rearrangement of the leagues. How does a minor league manager handle that? Because you got a team. Yeah, you got, I presume there are guys on that team that are viewed as prospects or guys that are going to do something in the future.
Mm-hmm.
What does a minor league manager do when you got a bunch of guys who are like, I don't know, 20, 21, 22 maybe, and they've struck out 24
times? Sometimes you
got
to hit rock bottom to really show you what you're really like. And maybe that was a reminder that, you know, what you're doing mechanically, offensively, is not real good. Like, you know, I'm sure some of the guys that the Jays were running out there, you know, not the greatest of pitchers, can't locate when they want to and throw a secondary pitch early in counts. So, you know, it's, I think when you're a manager at that level, you sort of let them go out and play and try and figure it out on their own. But sometimes you can use that to say, now look, see what that can look like when you're not doing it the right way. And yeah. Then you can sort of build off that and give them something to look forward to when it comes to, this is what it looks like when it's not right. Now let's try and get to a little bit better athletic position when you're hitting. What's your two-strike approach? Do you have one? Because you sure don't look like you did.
It just looked like 24 strikeouts. If you did, you certainly didn't take it with you to the park on that particular evening. So Donnie Murphy will join us in the 11:30 hour. Of course, as always, we will have Barker's Back Leg Bits. Lots of questions for Kevin. You can still submit them. DM me. My Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair. We are going to take a look around the weekend in the American League East when we return. It's Blair and Barker. Got it right. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.
The smartest takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You changed the music, didn't you? Your decision. Welcome back to Blair and Barker.
Attaboy! One for two! Yes, sir! Attaboy!
Yeah. It is Monday.
Yeah.
It is Monday. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk all week. The Jays have got three against... I got that show right. Got three against the Seattle Mariners. Thursday's the day off. Then the Cincinnati Reds come into town.
How many games they play?
That's
what happens. Whatever happens if they lose four out of six?
I don't know.
There'll be three or four games under 500.
No, they won't.
Well, they're a game above 500 now. If they lose four out of six,
I thought they were more than a game above. Anyhow, I don't want to let negative thoughts enter into the
never. Never.
Never. You know
no
me.
No negative thoughts for Jeff Blair.
You know me, man.
Yeah, I do know you.
Charter member of the Optimist Club. We've got a regular segment that we ran out last week, which is basically just a reason to make me do more work, as far as I can tell.
Well, and just listen to you complain about it.
Well, it's like you come up with an idea. You come up with an idea. And then,
it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. And then it's like Jeff does it.
Well, you're so good at it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't mind a contribution every now and then.
Nah. Why do you want me involved for?
Because it's your name on the show as well.
Oh.
It's not like it's called Baseball Central or something like that anymore. So let's get to In the East, shall we?
In the East.
Oh. Dude actually gets paid for saying that, doesn't he? Job.
Good home. Shaking
got a voice.
Yep.
Got a script. Dear, I'll be back in a minute. Just hold dinner. In the East. All right. Anyhow. It is in the East where we take a trip around the American League East this weekend. Mm-hmm. And, Kevin, somebody's got to slow down the Yankees. I think we can agree on that, right? Somebody's got to slow down the
Absolutely.
Yankees. Or at least Nestor Cortes, who pitched another gem in the Yankees 5-1 win Sunday over the White Sox. And, well, he's got JD, Josh Donaldson, who had seven assists in that game, by the way. It got him kind of remembering another guy he played with in Toronto.
What was it like playing defense behind Nestor Cortez this afternoon?
It was fun. I mean, I feel like I can barely even get from the dugout to the field in time. He's ready to go. You know, that was fun. It almost reminded me of former teammate of mine, Mark Burley, you know, just getting it going, changing speeds, getting ground balls, action early, and he forced them to start swinging the bat, and we were making some plays behind him, which was nice.
The Barker, since May 30th of 2021, so we're talking 2 weeks less a year, who has the lowest ERA in the American League and third lowest in the majors?
Well, since we just talked about Nestor Cortez, I'm assuming it's Nestor Cortez.
Wrong. No, yes, it is. Yeah, no, it is Nestor. I'm sorry. You got way too much trust in me. It is Nestor Cortez, Nasty Nestor, as he is officially known. And, you know, again, we talked about everything going well for the Yankees. They're 25-9. And they got a four-game series against the 14-21 Baltimore Orioles. You like the Orioles' chances of slowing down the
Absolutely not.
Yankees? No. I guess on the plus side, the Orioles have made a little bit of noise in the, well, they took 2 of 3 from the St. Louis Cardinals last week, which is a pretty big deal. And I started looking at the Jays, where their record is, and the Orioles' record, and you're getting to that point when the Orioles are closer to you than you are to the Yankees. You got to start wondering. Well, the Detroit Tigers swept the Orioles, so everything's back the way it should be. And all they're talking about in Baltimore is when Adley Rutschman shows up in the major league. So as long as that's what they're talking about in Baltimore, we'll be okay. We know about the Tampa Bay Rays, of course, winners of 2 of 3 against the Blue Jays. And we talked a little earlier about that third win being helped along by a Matt Chapman error. And I know in Blue Jays talk, we had people calling up, focusing on that. Look, recency bias. Matt Chapman has made so many good plays for the Jays this year. Watching Matt Chapman or seeing Matt Chapman make a mistake is rare. And, you know, if you want to know how rare it is, just ask Kevin Cash.
Kind of strange to see an error by Chapman there that obviously gets you guys that run.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him in 8 years watching him play. More than that, I've never seen him do that. So,
yeah. So put Kevin Cash down as being surprised at Matt Chapman's error. You saw the play.
I did. Well, it looked to me like the top spin on the baseball gave him a little bit of a weird hop. He was in between. He short-armed a throw to Espinal. There's no excuses for it, though. It's a play that has to be made on the road at the Trop. When you're not hitting, every little play matters. Mm-hmm. And when you don't make them, what usually happens, Jeff? You get beat.
Meanwhile, our friends, the Boston Red Sox, well done, Red Sox. They won their first series since April 11th and 13th, despite losing 7-1 to the Texas Rangers on Sunday. Now, we know that manager Alex Cora's bullpen has, it stunk. Mm-hmm. No other way to put it. So why did he elect to go with the bullpen day on Sunday instead of bringing up a AAA starter, for example? Well, I mean, this is a team that's got a lot of pitching injuries, obviously. Chris Sale, Michael Wacha, James Paxton, Rich Hill just came off the COVID IL on Saturday. So, yeah, their pitching is an issue for the Red Sox. But while the Red Sox were working a bullpen day, doesn't this always happen? Down at AAA, the guy who was a candidate to be brought up, Connor Siebold, well, he struck out 11 over 6 innings for Worcester. So I guess the question a lot of folks in Boston had for Alex Cora was, any second guesses on that decision to have a bullpen day?
Did you guys consider at all one of the AAA starters, or was that, why did you not want to do that?
I think roster-wise, it was going to get complicated. So, we got the guys that we have here, and then we actually, We got what we wanted, you know, 5 innings, and we had to set up for the rest of the day. We didn't make pitches in that 6th inning, and we weren't able to get to the next level, to the last part of the game.
The Red Sox, Kevin, are now 13-21. They've got a 3-game series at Fenway Park with
Astros. Yeah, that's what good teams do. They win at home. They're 4-9 at home. And you mentioned all the injuries. You mentioned offensively, they haven't gotten off to a good start. Kiki Hernandez is struggling. The first base situation that they're having, you know, the main guys, Devers, Bogaerts, JD Martinez, they're doing their thing offensively. It's the you know, the supporting cast, I guess you could say, is just not getting it done. And it always seems to be that one little inning. It's like the Blue Jays. When the Blue Jays aren't doing their thing, it tends to be that one little play, yep, or that one little pitch or that one inning that sort of is the downfall for their team. They got to get it cleaned up. It's the American League East. You're in last place, and you're behind the Orioles, which yeah, is just sort of a, you know, we hate to say that. We hate to poke fun at it, but you are. The Orioles are not supposed to go anywhere. They're supposed to lose over 100 games. The Red Sox, I guess, weren't supposed to make the playoffs or make a serious run at the American League East, but they weren't supposed to finish last.
No, listen, and I think, you know, it's almost as if the Red Sox can't get out of their own way. You know, we saw look, Chris Sale gets hurt. James Paxton gets hurt. I mean, I would argue that if you're the Red Sox, you probably shouldn't be looking at your starting pitching. You should probably have done more to address that in the offseason. Why you would rely on a guy, James Paxton, with a history of injury, I don't understand. So, yes, they've had pitching injuries, but they've made some decisions, and they've had things happen that have compounded it. You know, if you go back and look, Kevin, Tanner Houck's status, lack of availability for that series in Toronto, that in a lot of ways started this whole thing, because they had to go with Garrett Whitlock, take him out of the bullpen. Garrett Whitlock was their best reliever, and they have not, and I corresponded with a couple people in Boston, they have not been able to right the ship since the Tanner Houck situation.
See, they're like the Blue Jays for me. Coming out of spring training, you knew you could hang your hat on one thing, one part of your game. That's the offensive side of the ball. You thought you were going to score enough runs to hide bullpen woes, to hide some injuries, Chris Sale not coming back, et cetera. Those little things that you needed, you thought you could make up for because you could out-thump people. You could win some 10-8 games. Mm-hmm. And when you're not doing those things and it sort of looks the way it looks, and then the people that you didn't expect a ton from on the offensive side is doing exactly probably what they were supposed to be doing, which is really nothing. And then the light shone on those kind of guys. It's again, this is why being in the American League East is no easy feat. You got to play good for the most part from start to finish. And if you don't, you get lambasted for it. You fall behind so much that you start having conversations of, when do you trade Xander Bogaerts? And I wouldn't want to be the GM that has to do that, especially in Boston. That'd be a tough sell, especially the way Trevor Story
looks. I was going to say, the guy that I don't really feel sorry for him because he made the decision. He's getting well paid. But if this Xander Bogaerts situation continues to percolate and he ends up being traded in season, Trevor Story's Red Sox career is done. I don't care how many years the dude has in his contract. It is done.
See, I don't
he'll
see it
be
that
an,
way.
He'll be, Kevin, in that city, he'll be another Carl Crawford. It'll be the same damn
That's
thing.
A little bit of the Lindor thing. It's the first shock of going to a major city where you expect to never fail. When Lindor went to New York, it's that, oh, no, I go 0-15. I did that in Cleveland. No big deal. Nobody even noticed that.
But I don't think Lindor, that's necessarily.
Trevor Story is sort of the same way. Is when he was in Colorado, he had a little bit of a room to fail, not do well, struggle, laying off of breaking balls. And then when he carried that over to the defensive side, it was okay. It's Trevor Story. You'll figure it out. It's Colorado. Nobody really cares here. Yeah. And then you do those things in Boston, and now you're struggling, and you're not winning games. And, oh, by the way, the Orioles are in front of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, it's a little bit of that. And I think he'll be okay. I don't think he'll be okay playing shortstop. I don't think that's an option. So it'll be interesting to see if they got enough. You know, I don't know. You use the word you want to use. To trade that guy playing shortstop, who I'm not saying is the face of your franchise, because that's probably the third baseman, and that's probably Chris Sale.
But he's an awfully good.
He's the lunch pail guy of your team, which you know what you're going to get consistently when he's healthy. How do you trade it?
Man, I'll tell you what. If you want to talk about a guy that can make a difference at the trade deadline to some division race, imagine adding Xander Bogaerts.
It's not going to hurt, for sure.
Yeah. I know we've talked about him a lot in this show. You've talked about him. I think he's one of the best players in the game, period.
Run producers don't grow on trees. That's the Blue Jays.
Yep. Anyhow, hey, we should, we've also got to talk about the Pirates and Reds. I guess Hunter Greene will pitch here, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, off day Friday. So the Jays will
see. The hard-throwing right-hander. How do you think that's going to go?
The Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Reds yesterday.
Only the Reds.
Only the Reds, despite a no-hitter from the Reds, or despite the Reds not giving up hits, which we can get in an argument about what's a no-hitter and what isn't. The bottom line is, I asked you this coming on. Who feels better about this? The Pirates, because they won a game in which they stunk, or the Reds, because their stud was lights out?
I think that's more of it. That's more of it, that at least the Reds can throw in their fans' face. That look what we got. We can build around that if we can keep him healthy. Mechanically, he looks like he's decent enough. I know he's had Tommy John already, which helps. You get that sort out of the way. Hopefully that doesn't ever come back to haunt him. But he does throw 100. And when you throw 100, your arm, your elbow, your shoulder, your ribs, your lower half just can't take it. Like, ask Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
That's the best mechanics on planet Earth. Your body just can't take it. Like, it's a lot of stress and pain on a bunch of places. It's not supposed to have all that stuff. So, but yeah, I would think the Reds, the Pirates, where'd the Pirates going? When will the Pirates ever be good again? Ever? Like, how will they ever be good again is the question. Like, and it's a legitimate question.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I'm not just saying that just to be picking on them like you do the Orioles. I'm saying it. How will they ever be good again? Like, what is one part of their game that you go, we can build around that? It's not defense. They should have turned a double play. That didn't cost them a game. Well, that was the Reds. But I'm saying, is it defense? Yeah. Is it base running? Is it athleticism? Is it a special arm or two that they have? Not really.
Hard to remember that this was a team that was going to the postseason at one point. Remember, they had pitching Russell Martin there. They were a decent team. Same thing, the Reds. You know, if you're a baseball fan, what's happened to the Reds just really pisses you off, because 3 years ago, that was not a bad team. Like, what they've done to that team is criminal. Were they the best team in baseball? No. Was there the makings of a playoff team there? Yeah, absolutely there was. They should have had, and they should still be in the middle. When you look at the players they had, the players they've given away, Kevin, and you look at that division, they should be still in the middle of a window of opportunity.
So why are they not?
Ownership completely bottled it.
They got rid of some key pieces, didn't bring anything to help out with what they have.
You know, there's an old story, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And I think that's what, you know, you got to be careful sometimes when you back up the truck.
I just think when you got a guy that throws a hundo and who is really good and can match up against some really good teams and can eliminate some good offensive teams. That's what that guy does. He got a good secondary pitch. You can throw 100. You can locate 100, which is a bigger deal than actually throwing 100 in this day and age. And you don't want to really either build around him or draw attention to him. That's the thing, is draw attention to it. He's only going to have so many bullets. And then that thing's going to go south and ain't going to be there no more. So that, for me, if you're a baseball fan, forget about being a Reds fan. If you're a baseball fan and you want to see that, why would you tune into the Reds? Why would you tune in to watch Hunter Green pitch? To watch him throw no hitters and lose?
We are giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Blair and Barker, whether you listen on the radio or on our podcast. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question. Text it to 590-590. Friday, we asked you, who was the last Reds player to win World Series MVP? The answer was Jose Rijo. This is a good one. I actually would have got this one. Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and Reds at the Rogers Center on Saturday, May 21st. So again, text the correct answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. Of course, you can see the rules at sportsnet.ca/590, and we'll have more tickets to give away next week. Here is your trivia question. Who was the first Reds pitcher to throw a perfect game? Got a lot of good pitchers throughout their history. But who was the first Reds pitcher to throw a perfect game? Text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. As I mentioned, you can see rules at sportsnet.ca/590. And we'll have more tickets to give away next week. Would you got this?
No. I was thinking Homer Bailey whenever you were talking, because I played with him at the minor league level. I played with him a little bit in the big leagues, and though he threw two no-hitters, I believe, with the Reds. I can remember having – the only reason I thought of that is I can remember walking him off planks and sitting in bars because he couldn't throw strikes with fastballs. And he goes to big leagues and gets $100 million, throws two no-hitters.
Did he send
you – figure it has nothing, it had nothing any, to do
he,
with me.
Did he send you any money?
He didn't like the conversation that I was giving him. But –
well, how old were you then? Were you the older guy?
He was a younger guy. He's a nice dude.
Right.
And he would ask me, and I would give him my 2 cents. Because, you know, sometimes that's the best people to ask is hitters.
Sure.
If you're a pitcher, ask
like
a hitter.
Like hitters asking pitchers.
Why you're saying it and, you know, the conviction in your pitches. We talk about that all the time. That extra little oomph at the end is a big deal to a hitter when you see a pitcher doing that, because that'll tell you he's got confidence in that thing. You're going to see that thing a lot. You got to get ready for that. And Homer really didn't have that when I played with him. And then all of a sudden he goes to the big leagues, and I think he starts attacking a little bit more with the fastball and develops a little bit better breaking pitches. And when you can throw strike one with a breaking pitch because you have conviction and a located heater, both sides of the plate, we talk about that. What separates the good one from the bad one? For me anyway, location of the heater will always be that. You say Kikuchi, what's he going to do? What's he have to do when he pitches? Fastball command. And for me, command with him is not nibbling. It's not on the black. It's on the plate, just throw it for strikes. Get it in there, establish that early. And if you can flip something 0-0, put a little doubt second, third time through, that'll get you a little deeper in games. That'll make it a little harder for those hitters who like to guess this day and age. A little tougher row of it to guess in game, and makes you that much better of a pitcher.
You mentioned this, and we'll talk to Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone podcast, in a few minutes about this. But you say Kikuchi is facing the Seattle Mariners. This is a team that he went to the All-Star game with. It's a team that he essentially pitched himself. He could have pissed himself. He essentially pitched himself off the rotation at the end of the season. Of course, we know the options existed. He turned it down, and he ended up signing a free agent contract with the Jays. Now, he is also, he's throwing a different pitch now than he was with Seattle. It's the slider, and it's a work in progress. We know that he's altered his delivery. So how do the Mariners approach it? This is the guy. Nobody has a book on this dude like the Mariners, clearly. What do they do in this situation?
I wouldn't think they have this book. They've never seen this.
This is so different that even if you see it on video and you use what you know of him from when he was with you, plus video, it's still...
You know what I love, too? Even when he came out and he said, I don't want everybody to say I throw a split change.
Right.
He said, I want it to be a changeup. You know why he said he didn't want a split change? You know which way a split change goes? Goes straight down. Maybe have a little sink to it. He doesn't want hitters to know that he wants that changeup to have a little downward movement to it. It's right. Smart. Even the little thought process of...
Well, put it in the hitter's brain.
It's a changeup.
Exactly.
Maybe it's got sink to it. Maybe it's just a change of speed pitch. I don't want them to know that it's got... downward movement to it. So it's even smart that he just came out and said, don't say it's a split change, say it's a changeup. So that's a little thing. I know if I'm hitting today's age, I'm hitting a hater. I ain't guessing. Can't guess alone. I continue to say the one thing that I remember Marquise Grissom told me when I was younger and trying to hit, you're never going to make a living off hitting breaking balls. You'll hit a breaking ball, a bad one occasionally, because you're in an athletic position to hammer velocity. And I say hammer it. You get it down and get it singing and get the barrel out in front, and you barrel up a bunch of fastballs, then that pitcher's going to go, uh-oh, I got to do something different. And when they go, uh-oh, that means they hangy. And when you hangy, that's where I get back Lake City from. It's that kind of thing. When you're facing guys who's got high octane velocity, why would you look for a slider? You don't know what that thing looks like. I'm going to go up and look for it. No. I'm going to go up and look for the heater. I'm going to look for it in my zone. If I don't like the ball in, I'm going to look for the ball away until I get two strikes. Then I'm going to battle. Then I'm going to fight for my lunch. It's those little things that sort of I want to see from the Blue Jays. I hold the Blue Jays a little higher than everybody else. I'm not giving the Blue Jays lineup excuses anymore. You know how they're pitching to you. Go up, make adjustments, and let's see some fight in you. Let's see some battle, because you're a good lineup. You're a good team, and I just think when – guys are facing guys he's never faced before. You got to simplify this thing. How hard does he throw? Where does he like to throw his fastball? What's he throw? Two strikes. That's two sets of information. That's the only thing I need to know when I walk to the plate. I know that. I simplified enough now getting an athletic position because I have bat speed. I have hand-eye coordination. My barrel can find the ball a lot of the times because it's simple. Lots of runs scored, Jeff.
Solved all the world's problems.
We did.
Brett Boone is host of the Brett Boone podcast. He is a 14-year MLB player, part of that really, 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 really good 2001 Seattle Mariners team. We'll take a deeper dive into the Mariners. We'll talk to Brett about his brother. We'll take a look at the Blue Jays as well. All that ahead. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcast.